Today's reading is in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 14. Mark chapter 4, verses 14 through 25. We are starting in the middle of the context that we read yesterday, so it might be beneficial for you to pause this and go back and read up to verse 14 in Mark chapter 4 before we continue this. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, "The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. But those who were that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said to them, Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." When we read the beginning of this chapter, I told you that this was a basis parable, or a parable that they needed to understand in order to be able to move on from there. That's verse 13. He said, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" Or you might say all the other parables. So this was a very important parable for them to understand, and so Jesus takes some time to explain it to them. He details in this explanation why the gospel doesn't always have the life-altering effects that it should. For anyone that really values the gospel and has dedicated their life faithfully to it, to Jesus himself as our Savior, then it's foreign. It's foreign to understand why there would be people that won't listen at all or that won't stick with it. And that's part of what Jesus is doing here, is explaining why this happens. But I think there's more to it than that. You know, these disciples were going to be his apostles that were going to go throughout all the world preaching and teaching the gospel, among other people too, but that they were ones that were going to get it going and undertake a lot of the evangelistic effort that happened in the first century. So they needed to understand why some people don't listen and why people don't stick with it. But I think they also needed to understand that the sowing process is not one where we pick where the seed goes. You know, I talked about this a little bit before, in that the idea of sowing seed that Jesus is presenting is sowing it everywhere, not just select places. We don't choose the ground. We don't decide, well, this ground looks pretty good, and so that's where we ought to sow that seed. It's important for us not to judge the ground, because our judgment is flawed. You know, somebody that I look at and I think, well, you know, they're living a terrible life and everything's just messed up, and, you know, they're, you know, mired in all of these various things that maybe they're involved with. And so I think, well, they're never going to listen to the gospel. When in fact, that might be exactly what they're looking for. They might need exactly that, the gospel itself, to help them make the kind of change that's needed in their life. And the other side of that coin is, we look at somebody who's, you know, a generally upstanding type of person in the community, and we think, well, that's who I want to share the gospel with. Surely they would accept the gospel. But instead, they won't listen at all. So it's very important that we don't judge the soil. We don't judge men's hearts to decide who's going to listen and who's not. We just do the work of sowing the seed. That's what my responsibility is. Now, for today, we're going to primarily focus in on the idea of the things that choke the word out, that kill it from being able to take root and sprout and bring about fruitfulness. Verse 19, "The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. So the cares of this world, those are the physical things. You know, there's certain things we have to pay attention to. We can't make our way through this world as sojourners without doing certain things that are necessary in order to continue in this world. That means that, you know, we've got to have a job and we've got to make a living and we've got to, you know, take care of our families and, you know, we've got to go to the store and get groceries and we've got to have a home to keep the, you know, the elements off of us. You know, all these various things, raising your children, all that stuff is important. Those are things that have to be done. You know, so it doesn't matter if we're talking about career or bills or, you know, planning for the future or raising your kids or even our bodily health and our exercise, you know, trying to be somewhat healthy. All those things have their place. Those are things that we do have to give some attention to. The problem is we can give it too much attention and allow those things to consume our lives. So the way this is presented is with the idea of thorns, which is, you know, weeds or briars or something along those lines, coming into the area in which you're trying to grow something that's useful. The briars and everything, they're not useful. And so those are the cares of this life. They're there, but what do we have to do in order to keep being fruitful? We've got to cut them back. We have to give them just enough attention to keep them under control and then get back to the work of, you know, being fruitful. So it's important to realize that when he says the cares of this world, these are things we do have to give some attention to, but we have to be careful not to give too much attention to. Our spiritual well-being, our growth in Jesus Christ, those things have to come first. And then he says the deceitfulness of riches. And it's very true. I mean, Satan wants you to believe that money will solve every problem you've got. And the fact is, that's not true. You can look at plenty of people that have lots of money, and it never solved anything for them. If anything, it magnified their problems. It made them bigger. And so, you know, money is full of empty promises. Well, if only you got that next raise, then you'd be happy. If only you got that new car, then you'd be happy. If only you had better clothes, then you'd be happy. Those things don't bring happiness. That's a discontentment. That's what those thought processes are. They make you discontent and they take away happiness rather than give happiness. So this overlaps a little bit with the cares of this world in that, you know, we have to have money. Our world runs on money. I can't go down to the grocery store and tell them I don't have any money, but I need food. So I'm going to go load up my basket and I'm just going to take them. It doesn't work that way. They're going to call the police. They're going to have you arrested for stealing. You know, you've got to have money. You've got to be able to pay for things. So that's necessary. But the problem is that we go from survival and making our way through the world into a love of comfort and the desire to have more and more and more. And that leads us into covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, God tells us over and over, be content with what you have. Trust Him for, you know, the necessities of life. You know, work as working for the Lord. Sacrifice of your time and your resources for the Lord. We find all those things within the Bible, and that those things combat the deceitfulness of riches. And so we have to put our focus in the right place in order to overcome the deceitfulness of riches. There's always going to be a push-pull in this. You know, the deceitfulness of riches is going to try to overtake your life, and you've got to push back against it. Yes, there's certain things we have to do, but I can't let it take over my life. And there's the desire for other things. You know, the heart wants something else. It doesn't mean you're not a believer, and it doesn't mean you have no love for God, but it means that, you know, other things are a threat to that love because your heart wants to let them take over. I mean, that can be hobbies, can be people, can be fun, sinful or otherwise. Those things can grow and take over if we allow them to. You know, whatever your favorite thing, put it in there. The temptation is going to be there to neglect your spiritual life in order to chase those things down. Jesus is warning us that all of these things are a threat to our spiritual well-being and allowing the Word to take root in our heart and grow and be fruitful. So, the parable of the sower isn't so much about those that won't accept the Word, but some of it at least is intended to inform us so that I can evaluate my heart and know whether I'm good soil or not. And that's the thing that Jesus doesn't address that I've always thought about, is that I can change my own heart. I can decide that the Word is not taking root the way that it ought to, and I can cultivate that heart for God. I can make it so that Word really takes root and begins to be fruitful. But I've got to make that decision. So think about it today. What habits, cares, allegiances, desires, what things that are in this world are a threat to your spiritual life, your connection with God? And then pray today to have the honesty and the courage to put God first, even when your heart really wants to go a different direction. You choose your direction. You choose what you store up in your heart. And then you can choose spiritual life. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with all of us.